Welcome to the 11th ever episode of the Mike O'Reilly Show. News and reporting and getting the facts. Today's episode is sponsored by none other than the Plastic Growers of America. With trusting eyes, the children show. Minds open, hearts true, our spirits grow. The touch, the feel, the fabric of our lives. The touch, the feel of plastic. The fabric of our lives. Brought to you by Plastic Incorporated for America's Plastic Growers. Right now, go to americasplasticgrowers.org/Mike to get up to and including 84 free tabs and flakes of plastic. Remember, the promo code is Mike's Plastic. Go to americasplasticgrowers.org/Mike. Go to americasplasticgrowers.org/Mike. Use the promo code Mike's Plastic to get 84 free tabs and flakes of plastic.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Welcome to today's episode of the Mike O'Reilly Show. News and reporting and getting the facts. You're listening to Mike O'Reilly. And today we have the Guinness World Record holder in our studio. He is literally in our studio. This is very exciting. Who holds the world's record for having the worst memory of any human being who has ever walked this planet. Introducing... Now, I forgot your name because I sort of only got the report about the Guinness. Are you there?
Hello?
Sir? Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Did you call?
You have the worst memory. I need to know your name. I should have gotten the report. I didn't. Do you remember your name?
You talk to my guys at Guinness, and they have all that information because I have a hard time. But it's not. I just want to correct you. It's not that I have the worst memory. I have the most like iterations and slight types of amnesia. So I have no short-term memory to speak of, and I can't remember names, and I'm face blind. And then I also have a hard time with green vegetables.
That's good to know. I'll tell you what, you have really, once our team and I got a report from one of our partner companies who works in Ethiopia, and they recommended that we reach out to you. And then once we started doing our research, we found that you are basically everywhere. You have risen to stardom. You have recently been on The Tonight Show and The Late Show and even The Late, 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 Late Show that appears on 3 a.m. In Channel 10 local news in Vermont. Now, my question to you is, how did all this happen?
I do remember Vermont, so my long-term memory is preserved, and so I don't have any deficits there. I was born and raised in Vermont, in the Verdant Hills of Vermont.
Which Vermont?
The Verdant Hills. The Verdant Hills. It's a municipality. The Verdant Hills of, the Verdant Hills of, and then comma. Vermont, because you put the comma before the state.
All right, all right. You grew up there in the early 60s?
Nineteen seventy.
Yeah, we're no longer in the 19s, but that used to happen.
It was happening then, I think.
All right, that makes sense. I'm actually getting some looks from some of our sound editors.
Those guys, they just lean over us the whole time like this?
No, they're a little bit, I guess the word is anal. I guess a more PC is myopic. Sort of depends on who you ask. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you really enter this world of famedom vis-a-vis memory, vis-a-vis Guinness World Record?
Oh, thanks, Dan.
Where did it all start? My name's Mike. Well, so my name's the... Mike.
Sorry, man. Manny?
Mike.
Is it short for Manny?
You just tell your story.
Well, I know the Guinness guys came by last week. And so when they came by, I served them a cup of tea. I have this really nice herbal tea that I get from this apothecary around the corner. And it's meant to treat gout, but I don't have gout. But I'm definitely afraid of getting gout. I don't really remember why. But I know that I read in a book it was really bad once, and I don't know what I did with the book. So after the Guinness guys had the tea, they were like, okay, everything we talked about is in motion, and I didn't know exactly what they meant, but I, you know, you get pretty good at kind of playing along and just sort of having a conversation with someone. You sort of forget what's going on.
Hmm.
And so every time they've just sort of like, well, but don't you remember? And I was like, you know, listen, guys, the first time I've seen you. And the one guy, his name was Jamal, he was like, I've been here every week for the last month giving you memory tests, and I didn't remember any of that. But I think it's because they're drugging me, but that's part of my other disorder. But that wasn't, you know, so what happened was after they came by, I kept getting calls from this, what was his name? He's got a podcast or something.
Let's just call him Dave. Doesn't really matter.
I think it was, was it like PJ O'Malley?
Sure.
Devin O'Connor? I don't know, some Irish guy. Kept trying to get me on his podcast.
Mike O'Reilly, probably. That's me. Yeah, we're talking.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you don't have any short-term memory, but do you?
Well, this puts some puzzle. This all comes together. This makes sense now. So we're on a podcast now? That's why these guys are here with these microphones.
Yeah, it's a funny experience if you do not have any short-term memory, but are you aware of what you're doing in any given moment? That's the real question.
Yeah.
Are you aware of what's happening right now?
You ask that every time. Yeah, so did they answer?
No, I'm talking to you.
Oh, you're talking to me.
Yeah, are you aware of what you're doing right now?
Adam, every time I wake up, you know, what I do is I look around and I get oriented. And that's not oriental, you know, because that would be really offensive. But I get oriented to, I look around and I start identifying things in the room because I can identify things. I'm very good at, I can't identify people, and there are some green vegetables, and there's also some houseplants that I, you know, have you ever seen those videos of on the internet when you have a cat and they throw a cucumber at the cat and the cat jumps because they think it's like a snake and they really freak out? Put a cucumber by a cat next time, Devin, you're by a cat, and then you're gonna see that they freak out. They just can't handle it. So I'm a little bit like that, but I can't name what they are, and I just sort of get cat-like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, to a degree. Let's start with your origin story. You grew up in Vermont. Tell us about your childhood.
Well, I remember a lot of skipping around in the verdant hills of, which is the town I came from. My grandmother was a native Vermonter. My grandfather was a Turkish immigrant. He came after World War I, and they got married. And they had my mom, and so my mom is also a native Vermonter, and then she married my dad, and I don't, you know, this is where the beginnings of my memory issues started. So I can't tell you a lot about him because I just don't, you know, it's like a big blank. It's like when you walk into a room and you've got a really bad concussion, so you can't see through the stars you've got, you know? You know when you get a bad concussion?
You know, I actually do not. I do not know what you are talking about. And I'm trying to be direct so you understand.
So I understand. I understand.
Do you know your name? Let's do a little exercise. Reach into your pocket, pull out your driver's license, and read the name that's next to the picture.
Okay, one second. Okay. State of Vermont.
Yeah. I'll just write this down. No, State of Vermont. You're looking for the name. Yeah, the name.
Right next to the picture. Oh, the name. Oh, okay, I see. It says Harold Horbishore.
Doubt that's your real name.
Harold Horbishore. Well, it's a black guy, so it's probably not me.
That's bizarre. Wait, are you looking at a picture of yourself or someone else?
No, it's a black guy. It's definitely a black guy.
Are you black?
No.
So why are you holding a driver's license of a man named Harold Horbishore who is not you?
You gave this to me. I don't know. Did you give it to me?
No. We've never met. You're in our studio. I do not meet any of our guests in person. That's policy. I come through the back door because it is... When you're a celebrity, you have to deal with these things. Now, technically, you're also a celebrity, but you probably don't know that because you forget, given your lack of short-term memory. Let's try another exercise. What else do you have in your pocket in terms of IDs? And that ID stands for identification.
Yeah, I know what ID stands
for. What does it stand for? Because then I was like, oh, it's identification, but then it's not an acronym. So then why don't they just call it I?
Well, I is like who I am.
Why do you call it an ID if it's not an acronym? There's no D. It's just or we could just call it identification card. Then it should be an IC. Am I confusing you? Am I going too fast here, Harold?
Who's Harold?
The guy who's right now calling you until you figure out your real name. Harold is the guy who owns the driver's license in your pocket. How many versions of IDs do you have in your possession on your person's this very moment?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why don't you reach into your pocket?
The thing is, well, people tell me all the time to hang on to these things, like to make notes. There's a movie called Memento. You know Memento? And the guy goes backwards, and the guy's got to have tattoos all over himself to remember stuff, and he takes pictures.
I have only watched movies between the years 1920 and 1957. Any movie post-1957, I am not familiar with. And just to emphasize, that has nothing to do with memory. That has to do with policy.
Like L. Ron Hubbard.
Nope.
Policy? Are you a Scientologist?
Nope. Scientology didn't exist before 1957, so I don't know about it. It's not a movie that I watch. So,
it's interesting. I have a savant ability to remember things about the certain individuals and certain catchphrases, and then it triggers a whole wealth of knowledge that I'm otherwise unable to access.
Huh. You really are a fascinating case study. Doctors must have a field day with you.
Well, I haven't met him, but maybe he would come by and have a field day. I've got a backyard.
It is an interesting experience having a conversation with you, which on one part is happening, on the other part isn't happening. Mm-hmm. Let's talk more about your childhood growing up. I want to catch up to how you became the superstar that you're unaware of being as of this moment. So you grew up in Vermont. You had two parents. Your mother was born from a Turkish immigrant. Do you know your parents' name?
Excuse me, I must correct you. My mother was born from a native Vermonter who had commingled her DNA with a Turkish immigrant.
Commingled her DNA, is that a scientific experiment?
It's an accurate description of what happens when someone inseminates a woman, yeah.
But that could happen in a lab or that can happen in a bedroom. And you're, I guess, saying, what's the difference?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess... They didn't have a bedroom, so I don't know exactly how they did it. I mean, they had pictures from those days, but I didn't really, you know, I don't really remember what they looked like. Like I said, my dad comes into the picture, and things get hazy, you know, but I know that I can always, you know, like go back to those memories of my mom and her, like, Vermont, you know, she's very stoic and socialist, and she's very, you know, she has a stand where she sells handmade greeting cards, and they're only like $400 a piece, you know, and so she makes a few sales, you know, every year, and that's just that. And she has she also has her own little tea garden in the backyard, but I was never allowed to go near that, and that was sort of one time I went near it. And my memory is of this shadowy figure and the, you know, coming and hitting me really hard with a shovel. I think I was about 4 years old at this time. No, sorry, I was 14 years old at this time. And the shadowy figure, I suppose, was either my father or this workman that we had, this really strange workman, but I don't actually remember the workman very well, but that's someone that my mom keeps referring to, if that makes any sense. I don't know. Like, I think we would go on these long excursions all throughout Vermont. We got to know every square inch of Vermont. And we'd go by the university, UVM, and we'd, you know, we'd go to parties. And then I was about eight years old. So there was a lot of drinking. So I think these things, you know, at an early age probably had some kind of impact on how my brain developed. And then there are certain things I just don't remember, you know. But then I went to college. And I don't really remember that much either.
Huh. How do you, what do you do during a regular day? Or do you just sort of end up where you end up given your level of fame? I do know that you have three people who escort you everywhere you go. Tell me about them.
Yeah, those are my aides, my assistants. And my, they've been hired for me by the government. They're paid for through Social Security disability because I qualify because of my severe memory problems. I'm not able to work. I'm not able to keep a home, but I do want to stay independent, you know. So I have these aides around and they keep track of stuff. That's, I think they got in touch with the Guinness guys, but the Guinness guys might also know the government. I don't know exactly how the hell that works because Guinness is beer. And I don't really even understand what they're doing, talking about records. Like, why are they an authority? You know, I don't know. But I just go with what my aides tell me. There's Patrick, and then the new guy, and, you know, the other guy.
Yeah, come back to him later. Tell us about some of the medicinal experiences that have helped you develop the memory slash lack of memory that you currently possess.
Okay, so Patrick just gave me this sheet here. This is a really important sheet I keep. And this is part of what it says at the top to say. And this is a way for me to be able to explain the things that I have trouble remembering. Okay? There has never been a time when I didn't implicitly trust Patrick McGraw and his associated helpers and aides and assistants. That is why I work with them closely to attend to my needs and to arrange for my finances. This is not a pre-prepared statement in the sense that someone prepared it before I saw it, because I came up with it and dictated it to Patrick McGraw before forgetting that I came up with it, and then he wrote it down in this place, but it's really my words. Signed, oh, John Abershaw. I'm John Abershaw.
How do you spell that?
A-B-E-R-S-H-A-W. It's clear as day right on this document. Thanks.
Interesting.
Patrick.
How well do you read emotions on people's faces in the moment?
Well, I'm face blind. Now, that doesn't mean I don't see faces, but it does mean what I see makes no sense to me, and it comes across kind of like white noise. So I have a hard time telling the difference between men and women and remembering their names. And it's also very hard when someone's talking at me. I don't always catch all the words they're saying, and so I start shouting back. But I try not to do that very much, and Patrick's really helpful because he keeps me, you know, he's got this, what do you call it? It's a CBD oil. It's like a very mellow. He just gives it to me about 19 or 22 times a day, 19 to 22. You know, it depends on the day and what time I wake up and what time I eat lunch and what time we take the dog out.
Chocolate beer Danish? Is that what it stands for? Chocolate beer Danish? Because I love chocolate beer Danishes.
No. CBD. I don't know if it's
chocolate, B beer, D Danish.
No, it's a cannabinoid extract. It comes out of cannabis, and so it's
I don't know what that is. Don't know what
it's
that
like,
is.
It's the cannabis, like marijuana, like hemp.
Don't know what that is.
Well, it's a drug. It's an illegal drug.
Don't know what that is.
But the oils from it are not illegal, and that's the trick. And so I administer, well, Patrick administers, right, Pat? Patrick administers it several times a day. It keeps me calm, helps me not shout at people when I get spooked by the face blindness. You know?
If someone wanted to buy the version that you're right now, you and Patrick are selling, isn't that true that that's something that you guys offer? I did know, I'm just reading the report, and one of the things that my team from Ethiopia said is that the way you guys make money is that you sell different products based on what's helped you. But before we talk about those offerings that are for sale that people can get at a significant discount to reap a number of benefits in their own personal and communal life, what is the relationship right now, this moment, between you and Patrick? Is he look angry, controlling, happy, loving, compassionate? Well, how would you gauge his physical, facial expression?
Right now? Well, let's see. He looks... Well, I see his teeth. So he's probably smiling. Looks like he's probably smiling if I can see his teeth. That's, you know, tooth smile. It's when I look around in the morning and I identify things. I can see things. Like, tooth smile. I see chair. You know, chair, sit. I remember those things. So I think he's happy and smiling. And he's, you know, Pat's my bud. Pat takes care of me. You asked about my business. I don't really know much about my business because Pat really, you know, he's my manager for all that kind of stuff. And he's also my aide. And he's paid by the government. So, you know, he does it for the love and for the service of what he's doing. He gets, you know, it's public service. It's not like a big amount of money, I don't think. Right, Pat? I mean, I see he's shaking, and I think that means yes.
What was your most recent... I want to say memory. I'm really having a little bit of a challenge asking questions because you don't obviously know the answer to them, which creates a painful dynamic in terms of the reporter and the reportee.
Is there a reporter coming?
I'm a reporter. You're on a news show, and I report the facts.
But
and
you're not wearing like one of those hats. You know the hats?
Yeah, post 1957, reporters got rid of the hats. That's a new thing. What?
57 was a pivotal year, it seems.
What do you remember?
It's interesting. 1957. So that was the year that my father came from Turkey. Oh wait, it was my grandfather. It was after World War I. So what happened in 57?
Well, lots of things. I mean, it was really the year that I decided not to watch any new films. And there's a lot of political reasons for that.
You don't look like you were born in 1957.
No, I was born in 1980.
Yeah. So how could you have made a decision before you were born?
It's such a logical question, John. But
who's John?
You are John. Read that letter that you wrote to yourself that Patrick gave to you that's signed by the name John. That's how we know that your name is John Abershaw and not Harold Horbishore. I am curious how you ended up with the license plate of Harold Horbishore. My question to you... Oh, so yeah, to explain my whole thing on 1957, once I got into reporting, I mean, and I got into reporting and facts and news as a child because my parents... in the trailer that we grew up in, me and 10 children, in the backwoods of Montana, I mean, they were just always watching the news. And anytime things got rough, especially, you know, minutes after waking up, that lasted throughout the day up until the moment that we were able to fall asleep. I mean, that's more or less my childhood. The news was always on. The news was always on. Well,
that
it's beautiful.
It sounds really stressful.
Yeah, it's family dynamics, and I love my family. Now, here's a question to you, John. Given that you don't have a good memory, well, tell us about the story of Guinness. Like, how did that happen, and what came about it? Because it's a big story. You have been all over the news.
Well, yeah, so I talked to reporters. What happened? So Patrick sends me this letter, and it's like registered mail, and so I keep it here so that I can read it. And here, hang on, let me get it out. And it says here, you know, John, stop. And I'm like, what? Stop what? You know, but I kept reading. It's at the end of every sentence says stop. So I kept, you know, got to keep with it. John, stop. Amazing opportunity ahead. Stop. And I'm like, stop, what? You know, the Guinness Book of World Records is interested in your condition. Stop. And I'm, you know, people, representatives from the Guinness organization will be arriving tonight to begin administering tests. Stop. Yours faithfully, Patrick, public servant. Stop. So I keep this in my pocket so I remember what happened. And so I don't know exactly how he got in touch with those guys. But then we had these scientists come. And they were wearing these Guinness jackets, and they came with free beer. And we got totally schlitzed. I mean, like, completely plowed. And, you know, it was a really fun night. We're playing loud music. And I don't know. Maybe that's where I met Harbisher. Hmm. Yeah, Harbisher was
so he works
the scientists.
He works at the Guinness World Record.
He tapped the keg and he was pushing everybody really hard. It was really fun, man. And I think he and I, did we have a thing? I'm asking Patrick. Patrick!
I had an idea while Patrick is...
Thing with that Harold, that's how I got his pants? Yeah. So it was a thing. It was a little thing. Just a, you know. The other thing about this whole deal is I'm really sexually promiscuous because by the time I was in my like early teens, it's pretty much just like who can keep track. I'm face blind, you know. I'm also genital blind, but I know that I really enjoy the experience, and so I just kind of fall into it all the time. I don't really keep track, so I didn't know exactly, but that's probably where that license came from. It's probably also why these pants don't fit.
Huh. Curious, how do you even know that you're promiscuous? Because that promiscuous by definition means that you have many and multiple relationships with many multiple peoples, yet you wouldn't remember having those many multiple relationships.
Well, I remember
not adding up
say.
Here, John.
I remember what people say, and unless someone's doing a lot of different voices, yeah, I mean, like their bodies, I can't differentiate their faces, and I, you know, when I try and remember them, it's just like a pink mist. But like, you know, I remember what they say and how they sound and stuff like that. I have a pretty good aural memory. A-U-R-A-L-R-L.
Do me a favor. You got a phone? Do you have a phone? Reach out. Look into your phone. Look at the photos and videos. I'm curious in what's really happening in your world, because you can't remember, but the phone would. Tell us what you see in that phone of yours.
Yeah. So, let me just get this out. And, oh, okay, it's got a code. It's 4
Ask
2
Patrick, yeah.
Sign 9. Oh, thanks, Pat. Okay, thanks. All right. What did you want me to look up? Twitter? Going to Twitter?
Photos. Yeah, photos and videos. Yeah, Twitter's...
Yeah, it's just memes. It's just Angela Lansbury memes. Look, see, it's all these Angela Lansbury memes.
Huh. Well, what's up with that, John?
I don't know. It's a mystery.
That made me laugh, John. You made me laugh. For being someone who is, whose only talent and gift to the world is your lack of memory, somehow you made this reporter laugh. And to that, I'm grateful because I haven't laughed in quite a while. I take life very seriously. I take life by the horns. I'm a reporter. Tell us this. What really changed in your life after the Guinness World Record Company came in, administered those tests with scientists, mm-hmm. and awarded you the title of the man with the worst memory in human history? I'm also curious who's number 2, who's number 3 in that list. But let's keep one question at a time. I forgot that that's the way reporters work.
I don't know. So, like I said, the Guinness people, they're a beer company. And I don't know that they have, like, a list. Like, there was someone I displaced. I think they just made it up for me. But I don't know. And I think I did ask, but I don't, you know, big shocker, I don't really remember. You know, I got to also say, kudos to you for working for the BBC as an American. That's got to be really hard. How long have you been with the BBC?
BBC is one of our partner companies. We're based all over the United States world. in my opinion, the United States is the world because they define the culture. And from my very vast experience, every country on earth has the same culture.
Yeah, well, and also Vermont defines the culture for the whole country.
Right.
Everything I see around is just like Vermont.
Right. I will say, spending a little bit of time in Ethiopia with my team, I'd say that's a little bit different than the United States. Not that different. Not that different.
Do they have, they got Target?
Yeah, you remember Target. That's good.
Oh, why could you forget Target? Ugh, love Target.
You must have spent a lot
of
time there.
I have Patrick take me to Target, and we walk around, and I put things in the cart, and it's so funny because we'll come around a corner, and I'll grab the same thing. And I'll just say, hey, Pat, let's get this. And he'll be like, look at the cart, John. You know what he says.
What's your favorite memory?
Oh, yeah. Well, the ones that really stand out, I only have a few, so they're cherished. And I pull them out now and again. You know, you remember the 90s? How everything in the 90s was like a little bit like a Polaroid picture, you know? Everything looked that way, like you were like looking at a Polaroid picture until the 90s are. So I remember there was this one time I was you know, with a friend of mine, and then we ran into a fan, right? You know, fan of mine. And you know, it's actually, the guy's explained, it's not me who's a fan, it's my son, but he's got this terrible condition where he's got no immune system, so he has to live in a bubble. He's a bubble boy, and me and my friend said bubble boy a lot of times, like to real comic effect. I remember a lot of people laughing. And then we went to this guy's house, and the bubble boy was just like a real jerk, you know? And he started fighting with my friend George, and they were playing Trivial Pursuit, you know? And so the question came up, you know, what's the group that invaded Spain from Africa, you know, in the whenever 700s or something like that. And you know, the bubble boy had to answer, and he said the Moors, which is technically correct, but the card read Moops. Oh, you know what, that might have been an episode of Seinfeld. Yeah, that was an episode of Seinfeld.
You remember that though?
Yeah, I dwell on it, you know.
Yeah, I've been recently listening to Paul Simon. Do you know who he is?
He's a senator from Illinois, I think.
Also.
With a bow tie? The guy with the bow tie.
Yeah, also.
Well, I remember him because, so Vermont and Illinois have a long history. I don't know if you know this. I know all of Vermont's history. And so in the 1720s, the Chippewa Indians and the Vermontaquois, which is where the name Vermont comes from, they went on an expedition west and went to the land of Chicago, which is where the name Chicago comes from, and they were in Illinois. And so there's always been this tie between the land of Lincoln and the green Vermont verdant hills of, and we stand together, you know, because we're both long, like a long, skinny state. Long and skinny. So Vermont's got that in its history.
You sound like that's some kind of implicit, nuanced suggestion. I don't understand.
Well, so whenever I don't understand something, which actually happens to me a lot, what I do is I start explaining whatever it seems like they wanted me to explain to them. So what I'll tell you is, if you're feeling that way, you just got to act like you know exactly what you're talking about and keep talking. And that is basically how I handled Guinness. And at the end of it, they gave me a free copy of the book, and I got a little plaque, and like a ton of beer. They gave us all this beer. So we got wasted again. It was really fun.
Tell us a little bit about your condition. I'm just opening up our feed. I'm looking at our big monitor here. That's the size of an entire wall
huge in
the studio.
Wow.
And yep, we're getting a lot of comments here on all social media platforms. Yep, you can see it because you're in the studio.
This is huge.
My question.
There's no tubes. It's just flat.
Yeah.
How'd you get that? Where's that? It's like from the future.
Well, yeah, that future, present, past is definitely an interesting conversation piece. Wikipedia has a lot of reports on that. What is the nature of your condition exactly? Because on the one hand, you remember things. On the other hand, you don't remember anything with short-term memory. And then on the other hand, you have like a vast knowledge of all kinds of things.
Well, this was, if you actually read, so the headlines really don't get it right. And that's why you probably are under the impression that I have the worst memory in the world. That's not it. I have the greatest number of like discrete memory-related disorders and amnesias. And so, but like anything, you know, when you get more extreme, you know, in one way, you get more extreme in all the ways. And like, so when you've, like, if a blind guy, you know, if someone loses his sight, then he gets better hearing, like, automatically.
Is that a fact?
According to what I'm remembering. And when I lost all my short-term memory and my ability to identify faces and my ability to cope with green vegetables, then I gained in my obscure knowledge of Vermont and my deeply rooted long-term memory and love of my mother and those things. And then I also, you know, and I keep Patrick around. He stitches it all together for me, and then I don't need to worry.
We're about to enter the lightning round series of questions, which is going to be fairly interesting, asking you. Just before we start that...
What are we starting?
Yeah. So, just before we start what we're about to start, I do have one final, which is not technically a final question. We'll work that out in the sound edits. Here's my question.
Is this for TV? This is more for TV, or this is going on...
This is a radio show. Yeah, this is a radio show. So we're an official podcast of every major network, news network on planet Earth. So that's iTunes, Spotify, Chromecast, Google Play, all that. Those are the news stations that we're on. My question to you is this.
Yes.
What right now is your relationship with your parents? Because I just can imagine they're the people who have the longest relationship with you. And yet on the other hand, you don't remember most of what happens with them other than your earliest memories, which must create a very fascinating dynamic. Tell us about your present relationship with your Vermontan parents.
Well, I live with my mom. You know, my dad's not in the picture. There was a big blow up. This is another one of my memories.
He killed himself?
No, that's terrible. How could you say something like that? He killed my mother, and then I killed him.
But you said you live with your mother.
Well, yeah, I live with my mother. Well, I'm living, and she's not, but we're in the same place. So that's my relationship to her. I tend to her remains, and I keep the traditions alive, and I you know, I do all the things she would want me to do, and I have this undying love for her, and I forget she's dead all the time. We have conversations, and you know, she really helps keep me grounded a lot of times. She's the one who found Patrick.
Do you live at the Bates Motel?
Ha ha ha, she makes the same joke. No. We have a little cottage on a hill. That's a very green hill. It's in the town of the Green Hills of in Vermont. The Green Hills of in Vermont. And we go to the store. Well, she doesn't go, but she has a sense of her, and her smell comes with me. And we go to the store. And I get up early in the morning. And I spend lots of time washing all her clothing and keeping her room in order and dusting. And it's also important to have a regular regimen of airing out the space, if that makes any sense at all. What I do is I open up all the windows and I sprinkle lye on her body, which I've been doing now for several years. And actually, she's less of a, you know, body than she is sort of just kind of a pile of brown goo with some rags. But, you know, she really still has her smile, and I'll always remember that smile. You look a little pale, like scared. You shouldn't be scared. Mom, this is like just like someone who's got a big birthmark on their face or something like that. That's what Mom says. And it's not that big a deal.
How do you know what I look like? You can't see me.
I can see. I mean, I can see generally when someone's freaking out, you know, like that. And I just can smell also because I've got this enhanced sense. I can smell what you're putting out right now. And it's very, you know, you're sweating profusely. And I assume that's because I'm making you uncomfortable.
That is very interesting that you know all about it. About me because I am sweating and I am pale. You can tell that I'm jittery because I'm missing some of the words that I'm trying to get out of my mouth. I'm really fascinated how your brain works because the inability to have any short-term memory has created all kinds of new opportunities for you, such as, you know, caring for the dead and reading other people's body languages without seeing them. Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm a reporter. Who are you? Who are you?
I'm also a reporter. I think I went to school, and I know it was at UVM, and I think it was for journalism. I'm a reporter. Like, aren't reporters talk to people and report what they talked about, right?
They break the news and they report the facts. It's what we do.
I think that's what I do. That's what I do, and that's how I got this Guinness Book of World Record.
It's time for lightning round.
Okay.
So here we go. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and you won't remember the one that's before or after. You'll just hopefully be able to hear and cognitively enter that question.
It's just going to be like a reflex. I'm going to turn all the reasoning off, and I'm just going to be a reflex. We're going to live in the moment. This is how I do it most days.
All right, let's go. Colors that you're aware of.
Purple, and I see some orange over there on the corner, and then there's red.
You're not aware of blue?
You're not aware of schmorg?
No, I'm not, because it's not a color.
Well, neither is blue.
That's my nervous laugh.
Yeah.
Favorite animal?
You're really putting out the stink.
Favorite animal?
Puppies. You know, puppies and cats scared by green vegetables. Really anything that has a difficulty with green vegetables. And I also like rabbits because they eat a lot of green, you know, they eat lettuce and they, you know, they're kind of cute and fluffy.
Most used technology for you?
Oh, typewriter for sure. Yeah, I'm using my typewriter at least twice a month.
Person you're closest with in the world?
My mother.
Soundtrack you listen to most often?
Well, when the Guinness guys came over, we were playing music. But I mostly, you know, Pat kind of does my Spotify's for me. And I remember vividly in my early days, we had a hi-fi. You remember hi-fi?
Don't.
So we would play recordings that were put on vinyl discs and they would spin around real fast. And then we'd put a needle into it. We'd jam a needle into this disc, into these grooves, and we'd rub this needle on the grooves, and somehow that magically produced music. I'm not making that up. That was really how we used to listen to music.
Favorite food to eat?
Well, I've got this cup of coffee here, and I'm really enjoying it.
Favorite recreational drug?
Well, I don't really discriminate in the same way that I have a hard time telling apart people, drugs as well. They all just kind of come in and go out. And, you know, I don't, at any given moment, I might be on a drug. You know, I don't know. But mostly I stick to what's prescribed by the guy that Patrick found for us. He's an in-house guy. And so he's supported by the business. And so he's not one of these guys, you know, he's not a public servant, so you got to watch him. You know, he's fee for service kind of. He's not, we can't get the government to reimburse us for him because he's not a real doctor or he's not a licensed doctor. He's a very real doctor, but he's not legally allowed to practice medicine. But, you know, so that's why we got to pay him out of pocket from the business. We do it as business expense. I think that's how it works, right, Pat? So Pat was telling me that guy gets us whatever we want. And that's why I got this regiment going, the Charlie Bravo, you know, Delta, whatever the heck. what do they call it? You said chocolate beer.
Danish.
Have you been to Denmark?
Preferred gambling method.
On my health. You know, because it's like if all this bad stuff has happened to my memory, my physical health must be great. So I gamble on it all the time. I'm like, hey, $40. I got a lower resting heart rate than you. $40. You know, people get real scared and run away. And that elevates their heart rate. I always have the drop on it. It's great.
Marriage, yes or no?
No. You out of your mind? First of all, they're going to expect you to remember all this really important stuff. Already a strike against me. Second of all, who cares who you're married to? They're all just like pink mist blobs anyway, you know, unless they got a really nice voice.
Dream that business. I want to apologize, but then I don't want to apologize.
I really can't understand you if you're going to talk while I'm talking. So why don't you just wait until I say go? Okay, go.
Yeah, the Mike O'Reilly brand does not vibe with that. We're going to have to edit that part out. We're going to pick up on the lightning question where we're up to, which is, yeah, dream business.
I think I'm living that dream because, you know, the truth is I don't know what we do. I know we're buying and selling and we have investments. I know that. And I think there's something to do with concrete. But, you know, it's a dream for me because I don't need to know anything about what's going on. And I just get the checks, you know, I just get that check, you know, that check. Every week I see this beautiful check. It's big. And Pat tells me it's going in the bank in my name, you know, so I know I got a bank somewhere that's got a big account with my name on it.
If you were to do a 21-day road trip, plan it out, map it out, what would you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, we would get in the car. Then we would start driving north. And as you drive north in Vermont, it starts to get a little bit colder. And so we'd put on our jackets. And then we'd keep driving north. And then we'd turn around when we got to the north end of the state. We'd turn right. And then we'd drive for just a tiny little bit because it's a tiny little vertical state, you know, long state. And then we'll turn right again. We'll be headed south. We're going to go all the way south. We're going to do just one little stop over into New Hampshire so we can buy some alcohol at the government alcohol. You know that in New Hampshire, the state sells all the alcohol? You can't, if you're a private citizen, you can't have like a liquor store there. Isn't that crazy? So we go over there just for the novelty of it, and Pat takes some pictures. And then what we do is we swap out my face for Angela Lansbury's face, and we make a bunch of jokes about New Hampshire, you know, because she was from Maine. So it's like the same thing. Those guys are real, you know, kind of rough around the edges.
Weirdest memory you have?
The weirdest memory I have is really probably the only memory I have of my father. And the only clear one. And it was when I was, I'm channeling it now. I was 15 years old. Now it's just coming into stark relief. And my father came up to me and he said, "You're gonna have to be the man of the house now." And I was like, Pa, don't leave us, Pa. And he was like, "Nope, I'm headed out to the frontier." And that's when he left Vermont. So I remember that, and that's strange because no one really leaves Vermont. I mean, at least that's what I have been led to believe, that everybody who's in Vermont stays in Vermont because we're setting the trends for the rest of the country, and we've got important work to do, and it's verdant, and someone's got to keep it that way, and we got to visit all the places where people are there being Vermonters and holding up tradition.
Final question. This is coming in from someone on our Twitter feed who will remain nameless because he requested that it be because it's social media. And asking you this question.
It makes sense for everyone to be anonymous on social media.
If you could write a book, what would be the title?
What would be the title if I could write a book? What would be the title? I think the title would be, is that an apple in your pocket, or are you just... What was your name?
My name is Mike O'Reilly. This is the Mike O'Reilly Show. You have been listening to the interview with John Abershaw. John, thank you so much for showing up today.
Thanks, Alvin. Have a wonderful day. Good luck with the school report. And tell Miss Henderson that I said, you know, you really got something on the other kids in this Russian class.
Do you have any final words just before we end this show, John?
No, I'm just wondering, hey, Pat, what's coming next? We got, it's the guy down, right, no, it's the massage guy? Yeah, okay, well, just make sure we stop by the sex shop before, because we got to get that one thing.
Been a rendition of the Mike O'Reilly Show. John, wishing you the best.
Okay, thanks, Chad.
Fact checkers of the world unite! Thank you for listening to today's report. It means the world to me and my struggling team. We're trying, okay? And your help is what makes this possible. Look, if you believe in reporting as much as I believe in fact checking, go ahead and five-star this juice on iTunes and Stitcher and anywhere on the internet you can possibly five-star anything. Spread the truth and share this episode with your parents or legal guardians right now.